But you gotta love it, right? You gotta love the noise and the chaos and the joy that is our kids. Do we? Well, but we also like the peace and quiet, Haman, too, right? It's a little bit of both. No, but you guys, I mean, honestly, there are so many churches that don't have any kids. There's like no kids around, and they would die to have what we have in our kids. So they're our future, they're our present. Yeah, they're all of that, and we love them. And we love when they go to kids' church, too. So it's great. It's wonderful. Hey, we're going to, like I said, close on our series. But before we do that, obviously, if you don't live under a rock, you know that the last couple of weeks, especially the last week and the last 24 hours, a lot has been going on in our world. And so I just want to take a moment and just pray for the world. You know, as Christ followers, we don't see things through one particular political lens. We don't even see things through one particular nation. You know, we got to pray for the kingdom to come. And so as you're kind of wrestling with the news and things like that, if you've got questions or if you want to talk and process some of that, we'd be happy to the board or the pastoral staff be happy to talk to you about that. It might be good to talk to each other about that, but I just want to pause for a minute and just pray. So if you would just bow your heads with me and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, you are the God of mercy and of justice. And so we come to you today carrying the weight of a world in turmoil. Violence has been escalating between nations, obviously most recently in this conflict involving Israel, Iran, and the United States. And we're reminded how fragile peace can be, and yet how deeply we long for a world where human life is valued above power and politics or retaliation. And so, Lord, we always grieve the loss of life. We mourn with those families who have been torn apart by airstrikes or fear or displacement. And we lament how quickly weapons speak where words have failed. We also confess, Lord, how easily we can become numb to it all. But you are not numb, God. You are near to the brokenhearted. You hear every cry. You see every life, each one known and loved by you. And so we pray today, Lord, would you bring wisdom to our global leaders? Would you protect the lives of people? Bring comfort to those who mourn and bring peace where there seems to be no path forward. We also lift up the silent, forgotten conflicts, the ones not in the headlines, but burning just as hot. Wars in homes, divisions in communities, violence in our hearts. Would you make us, your church, a people of peace in a world addicted to war? Let us sow compassion where there is indifference and build bridges where there are walls. Let us not turn away from suffering, but move toward it in love. Your kingdom, the one that we are after, is one of peace, is one of justice, and one of hope. And we pray, let it come. Let it come, and let it come through us. And we pray in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, like I said, the last couple of weeks, 7 weeks or so, we've been talking about living on mission. We've been talking about it in terms of usually sort of individualistic terms, saying, hey, in your family, in your neighborhood, in your life, in your relationships, how can you begin to think about your life as part of the kingdom of God, living on mission, right? We know that church is not just about coming together on Sunday, but in all of your interactions, we have opportunities to be intentional, to share our faith, and to take everyday steps to live out the gospel. Today, I just want to remind us that we were never meant to live this mission alone. That you were never meant to live this mission alone. We haven't been saying the last 7 weeks, hey, go do this by yourself. Figure it out. What we're saying is, yeah, we're called to do that, but we're also called to do it together. We're called to be together. Mission's not just about me. It's not just about you. It's about all of us together. And really, it's about a people who are spirit-filled, who are other-focused in this sort of countercultural community of Christ followers. I want to look at 2 Corinthians with you, 2 Corinthians 2, verse 15 and 16, which says these words. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved. He's saying, we're, you know, aroma is this idea of a fragrance or the idea of a smell. And just have to kind of say this. We were in pre-service meeting just about an hour ago, and Marissa said that she was sensing the spirits when you were picking the worship set, and we hadn't really talked about this. The idea of fragrance kept coming up, didn't it? The idea of the aroma of Christ. So God's doing something in this idea. This passage wasn't even supposed to be in. We weren't supposed to preach this today, but it says, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved. Have you ever like walked past something and you know you get a really good sniff of some good pizza or something like that, you know? Or maybe some flowers or something like that. And among those who are perishing, it's sort of, when you get a smell of something, sometimes it kind of wakes you up, doesn't it? It kind of like gets you out of your whatever you were thinking about or wherever you were going to. And it makes you stop and kind of say, hey, what's around me? What's going on? And that's the idea of what we bring when we are the aroma of Christ. And among those who are perishing, to the one a fragrance from death to death, and to the other a fragrance from life to life. I've told you guys this, we go for a family walk a lot of nights in the summer, and there's this one house that has some ant farm animals. And you know, when you have some farm animals, you have some smells sometimes. And so on Friday, we were walking past this house, and Bennett looks at Emily and says, is that drugs? And I was like, well, no, I don't think so, buddy. How do you know what drugs smell like? You know what I mean? We're trying to like figure this out. But so you could be that smell, or we could be the aroma of Christ in the world. But Paul is saying that this is not you. Notice the language. It's not you are the aroma of Christ. We are the aroma of Christ. That we together are this scent of our Savior, that people encounter Jesus through the way that we live in community, the way we serve one another. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the passage in John that says, by your love for each other, they will know your Father in heaven. Dan and I, we were talking a couple days ago, and Dan just shared a story that of a church that he knew that was looking to move into a new town. And basically the town said, we don't really want you here because we kind of know your history and what might happen if you come into our town. Not the full story, but something similar to that, right? So that's not the aroma of Christ. What does it mean to be the aroma of Christ? And so I want to read a quote. I found this week, and I thought this was really beautiful of the sort of poetic of the type of community that we want to be. There's a pastor, I think his name is Garrett Jones. He's at Vintage Church out in Los Angeles. I don't know him, but I just came across this quote from him, and I want to put it up on the screen, and I want us to look at it together. He's a pastor of this church out in LA, and he says, what does it mean to follow Jesus and not just believe? What does it mean to follow Jesus and not just believe? He says that we have a city, or that we have not a city of believers, but a city of followers. He's saying the kind of church we want to be is we don't want to just be people who believe this thing. We want to actually follow after Jesus. Right? He says we want to be a church that creates an alternative community. Right? It's not in the world, or it's not of the world. It's not left or right, Republican or Democrat. It's not hip, but it's also not, you know, way in the past, right? This is an alternative community that resonates, listen to the language, with the sweetness of Jesus. The sweetness of Jesus. And not, oh, there's some Christians who believe, but that truly gives people a taste of a different kind of kingdom. And not, oh, there's some Christians who believe, but oh my gosh, look at how this community lives. Look at how this community breathes, spends their finances, forgives one another, serves the city. uses their bodies differently. And I love this line, uses their dreams and their hopes differently. That, it becomes a compelling aroma of Jesus in the city. Isn't that a beautiful image, a beautiful picture of what type of church that we would love to create here, that we want to be seen all around the world? So what does that look like for Kairos Church? What would it look like? Could we say that about us or not? What would it mean for us to become a kind of community that doesn't just gather on Sundays, but actually reflects the everyday life of Jesus and becomes this compelling aroma? Of course, we don't necessarily have a city, but here in central New Jersey, what would it look like for us to do that? And that vision, it's not just sort of poetic from one particular pastor, but it's biblical. We see it in Acts chapter 2. In verse 42 through 47. And if you have a Bible, or actually, we're going to be here for a while, so actually I want you to pull out your phone or a Bible or whatever you're going to need to find. However you can, find Acts 2:42. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, because we're actually going to spend some time here together. Acts 2:42. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So you get this quote from Pastor Jones here out in LA, and then you've got this beautiful picture in Acts chapter 2 of what the church could be. And so what I want to do is I want us to be the church, and I want us to wrestle with this passage a little bit today. And so I want us to talk about it in groups. So I want you to just stand up with me. Stand up, because you're not going to talk to the person that you're sitting with, because that means you probably always talk to them. So I want you to get up. I want you to go find somebody that you haven't talked to today. All right, move around a little bit. Get in groups of three or four people. I'm going to give us some questions, and I want us to spend about 5 or so minutes actually talking about this particular passage. So before the questions go up there, move around. All right, find somebody you don't know or somebody you don't like, or no, I'm just kidding. Find somebody you haven't talked to in a while. Three or four people. All right. You've got your Bibles because you got the passage. All right. All right. It looks like we've gotten some groups, which are good. All right, so here you go. Here are the questions that you guys are going to ask, okay? Now I got you guys talking, all right? Here are the questions up here that you're going to look at. There's three questions, okay? Number one, what stands out as beautiful or life-giving? Oh, what stands out as beautiful or life-giving about this passage? Something that gives off the aroma of Christ, all right? That's the first question you're going to ask. Then you're going to say, what parts of this lifestyle feel hard to imagine today? If I got up here and said, we have to live this way right now, you know, give all your money and then I'll distribute it to those that are in need. What part of this lifestyle is hard to imagine today? Where do we struggle to carry out the fragrance of Jesus in real life? And then if we live more like this church, the Acts 2 church, how might the aroma of our community draw people toward Jesus and toward Kairos? So three questions. If you want to read the passage again, you can. I'm just going to spend some time talking about it. There's no wrong answers. Just spend some time processing and talking about, try to get to all three questions. All right, go. Let's talk about it here for a second. From your groups, what stands out as beautiful or life-giving in this passage? What's just one or two thoughts, something that's beautiful or life-giving about this passage that gives off the aroma of Christ from Acts 2? Just throw it out there. The first one. What's something that stands out as beautiful or life-giving about this particular passage? What gives off the aroma of Christ from Acts 2?
Do you want us to shout it out?
Yeah, shout it out.
That they all work together for one purpose and everybody helps each other, selling things to get money to people.
Yeah.
The camaraderie and the representation of Christ.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. Let's go to the ring. What else?
Mm.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Good word. Others.
We talked about the fact that they were, actually Jason said, they're literally life-giving because they're sharing a meal together.
Mm.
Food. Oh,
yeah.
Spending time together.
You guys didn't miss the food part. I like it. It's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Others. All right, how about this? Go ahead, Eric.
It was that they elevated the body together.
Yeah.
Over oneself.
Yeah. What makes it challenging? What parts of this lifestyle today feel hard to imagine? Or what part do we maybe, thinking about our own community, struggle with this a little bit? Anita?
How we kind of store up things that we need for our home and stuff, and we may not need them now, but we're like very futuristic people.
Yeah.
They kind of lived on the day-to-day basis. Oh, we need clothing, that's more important than this. And,
right.
And we also wondered, how do they judge who is in the most need?
Mm.
I was at some conflict.
Yeah.
Based on that.
Right. Yeah. Who gets to make those decisions, right?
Yeah. And we also talked about all the temptations that we have nowadays, like Amazon, and just everything that we can spend money on. They didn't have those options back then. But not to say that it was easier for them, it's just that would make it really hard today.
Yeah. That's a good point. Well, sorry, just to add, you're talking about Amazon, in one sense, maybe for them, if you wanted to go buy something, you had to go to somebody you knew and buy something, and they knew what you bought. Amazon, you can, just 2 days and it's there, and nobody knows, right, because it comes to your doorstep.
Yeah. Oh, you were saying that I think they went to
church
every day.
Yeah, we were talking about that. It said they were in the temple every day, and they were in each other's homes. I think, they do. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes.
I sort of wondered what the introverts felt like.
Yeah, there were no introverts. Yeah. What else makes it hard?
So if we sell everything we have, give to the needy, I became needy.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. That's a challenge, right? Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah. Other things.
We also talked about with all the division in our world with about politics and views and how some people don't want to associate with others just because of
right.
In line with that is would be, I guess that would present a difficulty.
Sure.
Because it is a difficulty even nowadays because of the way some people feel, and so they had they had diversity too. They had the Gentiles and the Jews, and they had struggles regarding that. But
Yeah.
Independent thinkers.
Right. Yeah. Well, and you know, this is definitely something to look at and reflect on because it's so beautiful. But you know, we do have the rest of the New Testament, and we know the church didn't always do this, and it wasn't always perfect. So this is a group of sinners too. It's not just, oh, look at these perfect people, right? Read 1 Corinthians, and you'll see a lot of challenges at play. But what else? What else is a little bit of a struggle? We mentioned some of the financial pieces, which I think is probably the biggest one that we all kind of go to. But anything else that kind of stood out that would be kind of a challenge for us to carry the fragrance of Christ today?
Well, Jesus wants you to work hard. Somewhere in the Bible
I like that. Yeah.
You know, you have to work. Then again, it's what we're saying, like, we're working really hard enough that you see someone just slacking doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's hard because you think, well, they should be working hard too. You know? Mm-hmm. And that's where you have the fragrance of the heart of Jesus. So you're not condemning and you're not judgmental.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes it hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're expected to do things. And then, how much do you sell and give? And not like you're supposed to prepare for tomorrow.
Right.
So you're not dependent on anybody.
Right.
Maybe. But then, how much do you give with, you know, like.
Yeah.
It's hard.
One thing you guys are bringing up, too, is the fact that some of these conversations about, you know, money or job or life, how often do we have it in the church? You know, if you have a best friend and you get together with them over and over and over again, you're having these conversations eventually. You know, things just come up, right? Life just comes up. Sometimes in the church, we feel like, okay, we come together on Sunday, we smile, we say, how was your week? Okay, I'll pray for you. And then we go home and we're not sometimes having these harder conversations, but they're, you know, they're in it together daily. So if you feel like, you know, Io over there isn't picking up her, you know, and, you know, her, she's slacking or something, you can tell her, you know. No, yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. Sure, but I'm just saying, being together daily actually gives the opportunity to really build relationships. I was just picking on you there because you were next to Miranda. Okay, well, how about this third question? If we live more like Acts, like the Acts 2 church, how might the aroma of community draw people toward Jesus?
Yeah,
yeah.
And I do think in many ways, Kairos does have a very lively, friendly aroma. I think we do that well.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Anita. Others.
The world is so opposite today of what Jesus is. So when you show people the love of Jesus, they're taken aback.
Mm-hmm. Sure, sure. Yeah, it's good. Others.
We talked a lot about just like being real with people. Like,
yeah.
I have a mutual friend who used to just like pray for the teachers at daycare. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't, I think it was just always received well because she was really authentic about it. It wasn't like scary or offensive or weird. And, you know, like it was just real and meaningful. And even those little things just make a difference, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, having to say much, if you just are yourself and you just show kindness, like everyone around is going to want to kind of do what you're doing or learn from you.
Sure.
Doing a lot.
Yeah, yeah. That's good. That's really good. It's kind of being yourself. If you're feeling it, it's going to come out of you and you're going to share it with others. Yeah, it's great. Anybody else? Marissa. Yeah.
Exponential. So we were saying, like, as individuals, we need to be empowered and spending time in
Yeah.
Influencing others. Mm-hmm. Not waiting for, like you're saying, not waiting for the pastor or somebody else to be the one to pray or share.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. It's good. Bosco, did you want to add your comment? You have to now. Good. A challenge. Yeah. Ayo. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My home church, the pastor had a vision that they would be known as the church in the community. And people in the community would say, I don't really know that church, but that's the church that helps people. Isn't that the church that helps people? Right? And you kind of create this reputation for what it is, and then people are sort of maybe drawn into seeing, you know, what's going on. Not the church that believes this or believes that. No, that's important, but that's the church that helps people. Anything else? Thank you guys for doing this. You guys are being the church. I have like a ton of notes because I didn't know how you guys would do, but I trusted you that you would do well. So I'm going to, I think in 5 minutes, just try to just hit a couple of things, and then we're going to invite the worship team up here. In 5 minutes, come up here, okay? So, we're just going to take or leave it, because I'm not going to sit here and preach for another 30 minutes. Right? Amen?
Amen.
Okay, thank you, guys. All right, so you hit on a couple of these things, that missional community is marked by devotion, right? That's the first thing that we just see in that passage, where it doesn't happen by accident. This really does take commitment. It takes vulnerability. It takes grace. And it's not devotion to an event, right? It's not like, oh, I wake up in the morning, I need to get to church because I need to be in church. It's no, I need to be here because of my people, right? When we're not here, and I know there's good reasons why some of us are not here all the time, but when we're not here, we miss you, right? And we actually know who you are because we see you, right? The lights are on. We know if you're here or not. And it's to say, no, it's not that, oh, I need to be in church and I feel bad all week if I didn't come to church, but if I didn't come to church, then my people miss me. Right? We want to be that kind of community. And so, you know, there's small everyday action. It's also not just coming to church. It's texting each other during the week, which I know a number of us do that very well. It's praying for others. We talked about helping people move, which is a big thing as well. You know, it's these small acts of devotion that really help us when we come together. It means, hey, maybe after church, not just bolting out or, you know, not making a lunch reservation right as soon as church is over, but staying and lingering a little bit. I'll also say, too, I think one of the things that we've kind of picked up on just the last maybe couple of weeks or couple of months, I think we've just kind of fallen into a little bit of a pattern of, you know, church, it starts at 11:45, but we often, most of the time, we're not all here at 11:45, all right? I'm not looking at anybody. I'm just looking at everybody, okay? We just don't always get here at 11:45. And I know that sometimes it's because we're running around like chickens with their head cut off trying to get everything together. But we've done a better job of kind of tightening things up. We want to try to start 11:45. And if you're not there at 11:45, then the worship team is saying, should we start? Should we not start? You know, they've been preparing their hearts for worship. They have a worship set that's going to honor God, but also bring you into the heart of worship. And so the best thing you can do is try to show up, you know, not 11:45, but 11:35. Be here 10 minutes early, grab some coffee, get some water, fellowship with some other people. Because that it's not only going to help your heart, because it will for the whole worship set, because half the time, guys, don't come for the message, come for worship, all right? Worship is where it's at, all right? I'd much rather come to a great worship set than a great teaching because I can listen to a podcast during the week. Come to worship. But also, it helps your people, too, in that way. All right, my 5 minutes are almost up. Man, that was only one point. All right, number two, missional community shares life, not just a Sunday. We talk about this all the time. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So it's not just Sundays. We want to be so much more than that. So invite somebody over for dinner. All right, don't wait to be invited. Invite somebody over for dinner, even if, and I struggle with this, even if your house is messy, even if the food is simple, even if you've got to grab DoorDash or something like that, grab coffee with somebody during the week, not just because you need to meet with them about something, but you just want to get together. You know, for us with little kids, you could offer to babysit. You know, that might... Come on, guys, laugh at that, all right? You could offer to babysit every so often. You know, one thing I really liked, I made you guys get up and talk. I think that there's a great community here, but I do think sometimes we get in our little pockets, whether it's our Kairos community or it's based off of the section we sit. And so as we begin to develop a community, go talk to some people you don't usually talk to. I think that's an important thing too. So we just don't want to treat each other like acquaintances, but actually like family. Number three, live generously and sacrificially. We talked about this. I you know, this is a wrestling, right? They kind of gave all their money away, and I'm not saying we do that. We got to wrestle with that. But I love what Pastor Jones said. He says this, you know, a community, they're going to spend their money differently at the very least. They're going to have different dreams about their life. He talked about the dedication to our jobs or the good life. So we sometimes sacrifice as the world sees it for our church family, and it makes a difference. Derek, we had lunch the other week. We've been talking about that, right? How our dreams interact with the kingdom and how it is different and how we live countercultural in that way. So, you know, following Jesus, being part of the church is costly, but it can also be beautiful. And so we want to cover a meal, a bill when somebody needs it. We want to share our car or our guest room. We want to tithe faithfully. And one thing too, I was thinking about this week, we want to put margin in our life. Margin, I think, financially and emotionally, because sometimes we're all so strapped for time or money, and sometimes we can't get around those things, but sometimes we're so strapped when somebody needs help or somebody needs to talk to us for 15 minutes, but I can't do it, I'm strapped. So you create a little margin in your life, which then allows you to respond when needs arise. And then finally, missional community, I think, is really a witness to the world. It says they enjoyed the favor of all people. The Lord added to their number daily. When the church is healthy, I think the world actually gets curious, right? Because so often we know a lot of churches that are unhealthy and a lot of people that know about unhealthy churches. But when we live with love for one another, we live in joy and peace, I've really been, my heart's really been pressed for this idea of joy. I preached about it on Easter, and it's because I struggle with it, and I've really been tempted to say, or really been pressing into, Lord, how do we have joy in our lives, even in the midst of circumstances and suffering? When we resolve conflict in a healthy way, oh my goodness, the world needs that. You know, that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. All right, worship team, you guys come up. I'm just skipping through all my notes here, just killing my soul right now, but that's okay. There will be another sermon for another day. Let me just say one more thing. We've been talking the last couple, well, about 2 weeks ago, we shared possibility of the future of our church, right? What we might, where we might be going, what we might be doing, what that looks like. A new worship time, a new address or whatever, that's not going to be the answer. The answer is going to be, how do we live a church like this? And so I want to challenge us to really step deeper into the life and mission of our church family. Ask yourself, how can I contribute? How can I engage? How can I be part of this community? And that's where it's going to be, okay? And in this whole series, I just want to remind us, we're not alone in this. We're really not alone. We're doing this together. We want to do this together. And we want to be a church that smells like Jesus, that carries his presence. And I really would love for us to be that place where people say, I don't know what this church believes, but I know how they live. Now, belief's important, right? We need to talk about that, but that's, you know, that's important. But at first, wouldn't it be even better if people didn't look up our doctrinal statements online and, you know, all these different things? And what if they just said, man, Io, she lives differently. I want to be a part of that. Wow. John, man, he's getting baptized. And he went on a missions trip last year, and his life is different now. I want to go to his church. You know, what if we said those sorts of things, right? Not just, hey, I believe in God, da, da, da. No, how they live. So let us pray that we would do just that. Let's pray together. Jesus, thanks for the time in your word today. Thanks that we could just come together as a church family and talk about your holy scriptures and look at the early church and see some of the good things that they did. They did not do everything well, and we see that throughout the New Testament, but they got some things right. And that's us. We get a lot wrong. But we're also striving to get some things right so that we can be an aroma for you. And so would you help us to do that, Lord? Would you help us to love one another, to be in community together, to be sacrificial, to be together more often than not? Yes, come on a Sunday together, but also during the week to be in relationship and community, to invite our non-Christian friends and our neighbors with our Kairos people so that they can sense an aroma, they can smell an aroma for your glory, so that they can see the joy that is following after Jesus. So help us, God. Help us this summer to live on mission together through the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen.